Recently, I was telling a few friends this story about when I had a spiritual awakening. For many years, it felt like I could do anything. I was connected to God, to Source, to myself. I could channel whole books in just a few weeks. I felt like I had climbed a mountain and thought that I was going to stay there forever, being able to see everything at this perspective and handle whatever came my way. And now, years later, I realize I wasn't on a mountaintop. I was an inchworm who had moved 1 inch on a massive leaf that they couldn't even see the edge of. And this isn't a reflection that brings me despair. It's one that brings me humility. And that humility allows my belly to stay close to the ground, which is a quality we need in chaotic times and in times of upheaval. And that, in one way or another, is another insight into the tarot card I'll be diving into today, which is the Tower. So, welcome back to Moonbeaming. Stay tuned for some thoughts on this card, on spiritual enlightenment, spiritual crises, trauma, and what surrender teaches us about moving forward. I'm doing this episode this year because the Tower is the Chariot's teacher card. And the Chariot, as many of you know, is our card of the year. I think it's useful to bring in the idea of tarot constellations when wanting to deepen our relationships of all the cards, because everything is a relationship. And the relationship between the Tower and Chariot is a pretty direct one as far as relationships go. And diving into one of the archetypes gives us more insight into the other. Last year, our card was Lovers, and the Devil was in the mix too. And you might have started to see the Devil hanging out last year, maybe halfway through the year. Maybe you saw some of the Sixes surface. And now, as the year is in full swing, you may be seeing both Chariot and Tower type themes coming up more into your life, into the collective, as well as our friends, the Sevens. I'm doing a workshop on tarot constellations. It's not going to be until later this year in August. It's linked in the show notes if you want to sign up for that and go deep into tarot. I know it's far away, but I'm trying this thing this year. And God is laughing at me right now. I'm laughing at myself as God laughs at me. But I'm trying this thing called planning it out, because sometimes we'll hear from folks that they didn't have enough time. They didn't have enough of a heads up for one of our classes, or they only just heard about an offering right before the enrollment stopped, and so they didn't sign up. So we're trying to get everything on the website, have everything really clear to everyone. Clear Channels, she's coming back in June. It's on our site. There's going to be a surprise workshop in July I know you'll love. It's not up yet. And then we have a tarot workshop in August. And then we're going to have at least one autumn workshop series. And one of those is absolutely going to be Protection Magic. I think it's in October. It's also on the site. People love this class. it's such a successful class. I wanted to run it again because of the benefits that folks are enjoying. So do not say I didn't warn you. If you've wanted to take Clear Channels, it's next month. That class is all about finding your unique voice, really tuning into what you want to express. And it's about building a way to contact your people outside of social media. So newsletters, blogs, online writings, podcasts, all of that. Basically, things that you own, because as small business owners, that's what we have to do. We cannot rely on social media for our businesses. That is not good. And if you're an artist and a creative, you want to have a channel, you want to have an outlet to share, such as I'm doing now. So that's next week. All the links are there. Click them or sign up for our newsletter. If you've wanted to take a tarot class from me, it's there. If you want to peruse all of our other classes, it's there too. You've got much time. Okay, that's my little impromptu housekeeping I felt called to share just now. Voila, let's keep going with the tower. Let's just start with the basics of this card. You've never come across a tarot deck. I'll just break this down for you. You know, though. I know you know, right? You're listening to this episode because you're obsessed with tarot, right? I mean, we all are here, right? But sometimes a really simple 101 review is great. The Tower is number 16 in the major arcana. It appears just before the sequence of the luminaries, the star, the moon, the sun. The Tower is a major threshold. Anyone who has been in Tower times knows about how major this energy is. This is the kind of energy where there's no moving back. It's before and after kind of energy. The Tower is the second card on the third line of the tarot, the line that is associated with the superconscious mind, the collective, integration, culmination, illumination. You know all about it. The first line from Magician to Chariot is about how to live in our bodies and how to live in the material world and how we create our personality and how we create our values, mostly through experiences, influence, and action. The second line from Strength to Temperance is about how to live inside ourselves, with our interiors, with our shadows, in our subconscious, in complexity, in our values, with ourselves. And the second line is as much about unlearning certain unhelpful beliefs and unraveling those in order to clearly choose what we want on an individual or spiritual level. The second line is very much a process of shedding and integrating and going deeper within. And the third line is about integrating and expanding and being in the collective. It's the bigger dreams, the dreams of the we, and the dreams for the earth herself, and the dreams we have for maybe our children, maybe our ancestors. It reminds me of that quote by Ava DuVernay. I'm paraphrasing here, but if your dream is just for yourself, it's too small. And I think about this a lot when I'm teaching classes. I'll often teach to between like 30 and 150 people or something like that. And I'll often hear from the participants, of course, because they're live and I love getting to know all of you. And they'll give me feedback about a technique or practice that they took home, they implemented, and it changed their relationship with their partner, or it helped something with their kid. And whenever I'm coming up with a series where I'm going to be offering it to the public, I think of that bigger dream. I will often cast a spell with my intentions for the group of people and my intentions for what they will find and what they will experience and what will benefit them, you know? We're much, 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 much more powerful when we're of service and when our dream fits inside of the bigger collective dream, almost like a Russian nesting doll. There's like your dream, and then how does that affect your community? And then how does that affect the world? And then how does that affect, you know, so on and so forth. So that's the third line. And the tower is such an important part of that dream because the tower destroys anything that isn't foundational, anything that isn't true or in alignment to these bigger hopes, these bigger intentions. And it clears away anything that isn't true about yourself. It uncovers delusions and lies. It is in this archetype that we see how resilient we are and what we believe. In a lot of ways, the Tower card bookends this other process in the major arcana that started in death, which is about chapters of life ending, after parts of us die, after an ego death, a dramatically altered state of consciousness can appear, can, not always, but sometimes, called transcendence or enlightenment. If your ego is a house of cards, the tower is when the house finally gets knocked over. We can't work with other people if we've put up walls. Or I should say, we can't work well with other people if we've put up a lot of walls. We can't help the world if we're not in it and looking around it, and if we don't understand it, if we don't understand ourselves, if we don't care about it. We can't be in relationship with one another and the greater world, the greater universe. And yes, that includes spiritual practice. And yes, that includes magic and ritual, if we're totally closed off and unwilling to soften. So I hope the placement of the tower on that third line, preparing for the major opening that the star forward, right, onto the world, it can help you understand why it's here and what it is for in this bigger picture. The tower has also been called the house of God or la maison de Dieu and the lightning struck tower in other decks. The keywords for this archetype: healing, renovation, reinvention, chaos, destruction, crisis, apocalypse, healing crisis, existential crisis, loss, ambitions, failure, unexpected circumstances, unveiling, foundations, illusions, the truth, trauma, the discomfort of the comfort zone, ego death, pivots, trials, breakthroughs, growth, beginning again, and major life circumstances changing. The planetary links to this card are, I'm widening them because you know I'm not very united to the Golden Dawn astro references in tarot. They're two separate disciplines. They're similar but different. We know the Golden Dawn folks made them up to fit them into their rituals and so squished certain planets and zodiacal signs into the tarot. And by doing so, in my humble opinion, the correlations don't make total sense with some of the cards. And honestly, this feels like one of them. The Golden Dawn correlation for this card is Mars. I can see that. Mars is linked to violence, to severing. There's also, of course, the link between Mars and ego and walls. So I understand it. I get it. And it feels like also the Chariot could be Mars as well, because of course, very, duh, right? There are other planets that feel linked to the tower. To me, Pluto. Pluto really feels like a much more direct link, in my humble opinion. Pluto, the planet of the underworld, of excavation, of this profound transformation, usually through entering the shadow, going down, this feeling that you can't go back, only forwards, or there's only up to go after dealing with such torment. The tower feels very Plutonian to me. The Golden Dawn school has linked Pluto to judgment, which it makes sense. I get it. We get to do whatever we want. Everything's made up. Pluto can be both. Pluto is a very small planet. Some people don't even think Pluto's a planet, but Pluto's big enough for multiple archetypes. There's another planet, I know you know this one, that can be linked, I also think, to the tower, and that's Uranus, the planet of lightning, unpredictability, swift change, fast insights. Again, for me, makes a lot of sense as a correlation here. We know that Uranus is thought to be the planet linked to the Fool. Again, I think we can expand our scholarship and our understanding of how these modalities can exist and speak to one another expansively without being so rigid, because we know what happens when we're rigid. The tower walls collapse. Waka, waka, waka. I'll briefly go through the depiction. In most decks we see, it's a tower. We see an old stone tower that has been struck by lightning, with sparks coming off the lightning, which are called yods, or the hand of God. Often there are two figures that are falling, and the roof of the tower often looks like a crown. It's coming off. The lightning has struck the crown, and it is a dark and stormy night. It is a nightmarish depiction, and the thing is, nightmares happen and terrible things happen. There has to be an archetype in the deck that makes space for the harder things, for the unexpected loss, pain, and suffering that occurs as part of life. Can you imagine if an archetypal deck meant to be a reflection of the totality of the human experience only had good vibes? It wouldn't be an accurate depiction of collective life or nature. What makes folks, I think, uncomfortable is that the tarot is a divination tool and they don't want their future to be filled with unexpected hardship. And I think that's moderately funny, because if you go to a reading, there is a 50% chance, maybe, allegedly, estimated, that you could be trying to control the future by figuring out what's going to happen. And while we can certainly take focused and aligned actions towards what we'd like to experience, no Hwen can control the future. And of course, the tower isn't always some major catastrophe. We're going to get into the spectrum of meanings, and we can take a closer look at some of the smaller ways the tower can show up. Now, the Thoth deck and certainly other decks are more gentle in their depictions than, say, the Mersey style or the Pamela Coleman Smith rendition. The Thoth feels much more like a spiritual awakening. It's like a fractal holographic depiction with a big eye, complete with a dove. What we do know from all the symbology, from the keywords, is that the experience of the tower is intense. There is an intensity and there is an uncomfortableness and there is the feeling of being out of control. And the reason why folks struggle with the tower, as well as it often illustrating something really painful that is coming up in real time, the source of the pain is often external. It comes from outside of us. And so it feels like we can't control it. We can't control it. A friend ghosting us, a series of rejections on a job hunt, those small or larger ways that our world around us can maybe begin falling apart, that life starts reflecting back certain beliefs or certain pain points, starts highlighting our wounds, and also shows us about who we are, what our life might be, what we are made of. It presents us with what our resilience is about, or shows us who's on our side, who are our people, or shows us lack of community, or our attachments, where our attachments to certain people, or ideals, or beliefs, or habits, or particular identities we've had are maybe the wrong attachments. Maybe those attachments were what caused us to tip over, like the tower. So ultimately, the tower is one of the many cards in the deck that is showing us about the beauty of the practice of non-attachment. I'm not talking about attachment styles here. I just mean not getting overly attached to an outcome, overly attached to a specific kind of relationship, overly attached to the kind of person you think you are, because the tower will often show up to point out where there is a large gap or where our ideas are not lining up with reality. There are a lot of cultural correlations and folklore and concepts where we see the tower or like reflections of the tower. There's Rapunzel's tower, of course. There's the Tower of Babel, a very famous allegory about ambition, reaching for God, separation. There is the Panopticon, that symbol of surveillance. The other one more recently, of course, that comes to mind is the Twin Towers. And last but not least, some tower phrases: expect the unexpected, one of my faves, let go or be dragged, or perhaps my favorite, the truth will set you free, but first, it might piss you off. Here's the thing. I am a life path 7. That is the Chariot. And so the tower is my teacher card. I've had so many tower moments. I'm in a tower moment as I record this. I'll never try to romanticize terror or violence or illness, but I'm comfortable, or perhaps more comfortable than the average bear is, with the tower card, simply as what I've gone through and survived in my life. near-death experiences. I'm a survivor. If you have PTSD, CPTSD, if you have a chronic rare illness, you know the tower. You know the tower well. And you know the harshness of it. And you know the gifts it's given you as well. Out of almost all the cards, the tower is the hardest to experience and the hardest to undergo and the hardest to respond to, I think. It's so hard to let go. It's so hard to deal with accidents, illness, injuries. It's so hard to build something, a business, a career, a family, something you thought, rightfully so, would give you the support or happiness or security you've always longed for, and then watch it crumble or get destroyed or fall apart or not be what you wanted or not be what you thought it would be, because this is called being a human. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how much of a bright side that there is eventually. But often, when we're going through it, that shit is brutal. It's so hard to face our mortality, the true uncertainty and groundlessness that is the world, the randomness that often makes up our existence, like layered through all these societal influences that we did not create, but that we are influenced by and impacted by. Ultimately, the tower is here to test the foundations of who you are and what you want. The tower asks us to deal with our anger. It asks us, how do we deal with our anger or with little or large upsets in our lives? Do you get irrationally upset in traffic or when your flight gets delayed 10 hours? How adaptable and patient are you? How much of your identity is wrapped up in temporary external factors? How much of your self-esteem depends on how well you perform for someone else's gaze or what you think you should be doing? We all do it. We all do it. We do it for safety, for love. And so when we do it with the expectation that we will be safe, that we will be loved, that there will be a particular outcome that might have been promised or might not, and we're not safe, or we're not loved, or this thing we thought would happen does not. Those are tower moments too. Similar to judgment, this is a card of reckonings, revelations. What happens in the tower is that we'll often see something we cannot unsee, something that changes our lives or relationships in a kind of shattering way, sometimes in a very enlightening way. In a shattering way, it could be you learn your partner was cheating on you, or someone you really thought was your friend behaves in ways that show that they're not. And so it's shattering the illusion of what you thought was going on, what you thought reality was. Political awakenings, learning about systemic oppression, realizing why you're treated the way you are treated by certain people or by the greater world, that's definitely a tower moment. And also, there's that collective piece of the tower in that too, right? When we talked about line three being something greater than you, understanding that we are connected is part of this unveiling too. Ultimately, the tower is meant to shed the separation that we have, any separation between ourselves, the walls we have up, the walls we have up around other people, and the distortions that we all and habit that influence our interactions with one another. And if your perspective is based off a foundation of insecurity or based off of ideologies that enforce racism or ableism, if those foundations are rotten, it's time to find a stronger one, a different one. But first, often is that obliteration moment where we're shocked, we're scrambling, and grieving. Grieving what we believed in, grieving all that lost time, grieving who we thought we'd be. It's humbling. And almost everyone goes through it at least once in their life. Certain phases in our lives have an expiration date. We outgrow certain patterns and habits, and then we have to move on, clear out space, and begin again. You know, we change so much all the time. Think of how different you were when you were 16. Most of the time, we aren't conscious or cognizant of that change. We can look back and see it, but we might not be aware or conscious of it while we are changing. And that's one of the things the Tower archetype does at its best, is pull the rug out from under us in such a way that we become conscious of who we are and what we like and what we don't like about our behavior or aspects of our personality, and we can more consciously choose our identity. What we think we are, we are. So if you find yourself in more of an internal tower moment, like this isn't working anymore, the structure of my life or parts of my life aren't working anymore, it's important to admit it and to go slowly and change it. The tower isn't always this big thing. It could be a lot of little breakdowns. It could be that we don't throw the whole thing away. We don't throw the whole book we've been writing away, but maybe we have to rewrite half of it. And it's exhausting and disappointing, but in the process, you figure out a better writing process or ritual. Or in business, I'll give another example. Maybe one thing you made isn't doing well and you think it's the end of your entire business, when really the thing you're doing right now just maybe isn't working and it's beyond normal, right? So when the tower comes up and you start expecting the worst, start, you know, nibbling on your fingernails, you find yourself towering around something, you can ask yourself, is this really a horrible, like everything is falling down around me situation, Chicken Little, sky is falling kind of thing? Or is there something else I have to do for a while? Do I really have to blow up my whole life and quit everything and move away? Or maybe you need to take a rest, see if you might need to end a certain way of working. Maybe you can see if there's some meds you need to get adjusted. Maybe you can see if you need to change the kind of therapy you're doing. You know, when we get the tower, I think it's a very good exercise to see what our internal response is. Is it all doom and gloom? Can we use pulling the tower to align us, so to speak, have us see the truth of the situation, that in fact, it's actually not that bad? Maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. Maybe I just need to call them on the phone because it was just a misunderstanding, right? So that is something also, I think, in real time, what pulling the tower card can give us, right? We can check our tendencies to be all or nothing, to internalize things that are out of our control, and so on and so forth. So try it next time you pull the tower and think, okay, how am I responding to this card? There's a spectrum. So is everything really unsalvageable? Or do I just need to replace my window? Right? Like, is the whole shebang over? Or is it just that, like, the key in the door got stuck and I need to call a locksmith or something? Right? So there's that little lesson of the tower as well. And on the more serious tip, I couldn't not talk about the tower and trauma. You know, like I said, sure, any archetype could be about trauma, any archetype could be about anything, but the tower really specifically highlights a traumatic event or us really needing to tend to our trauma. Repair, recover as much as we can. We know that trauma is too much too fast. CPTSD happens when it's too much or too little for a long period of time. And we know that trauma, it's as much about whether we've had many or at least one compassionate witnesses. You know, if we've had the adequate support and love as we recover and heal. And most of us haven't. Most of us don't ever get that, you know? And sometimes what happens then is our trauma brain can take over. There's this critical negative pattern. It lodges in our brain. Our nervous system can become much more easily activated. We can react much more than we respond. And we've got to figure out how to become more resilient and how to stop being our own worst enemy, because we're the ones that have to live with us, and the people we love are the ones we have to live with us. But, you know, it's what's going on inside of our brain and our nervous system and our bodies is what we need support around. Pete Walker says that the inner critic is the superego gone bad. If the devil shows us our hooks, our cravings, our desires, the tower shows us the wound itself and the walls we've erected around that wound, the coping strategies, the ambition, the brilliant ways we've tried to protect ourselves against having those wounds be seen. Hypervigilance is a fixation towards danger or worst case scenarios. And it also can future cast danger. And this is a protective function that goes to its extreme to become over defensive. And it's also a narrowing function, right? This is the such the heartbreak of trauma. And I'm saying this as a survivor, right? Is like, it's when the past is present and when you can't let go of the past because there's something about keeping it in the brain and in consciousness, in keeping it alive, we're somehow safe from it or something like that, you know? But that narrows our vision so much. It narrows our experience so much. And we know that when we are narrower and we are defensive and we're rigid and we're fixated, we aren't available for growth. We're circling the wound again. We're creating maybe a moat around the wound. And then that moat becomes a wall or a barrier to entry or connection. And then that becomes the tower. And then eventually those walls, the tower, have got to come down. And when we don't dismantle those walls consciously, and go to repair and cleanse the wound, those walls will come down in explosive ways, in ways that keep us more separate, not less. Not only separate from other people, but separate from our essence, our energy, our brilliance, separate from love, from source, from spirit. And this story of separation, it's this original wound, the separation from ourselves, from God, from source energy. Our culture exacerbates separation, and so does trauma. And it highlights also the tower as the too tight container, because we're so much more than our suffering and our wounds and our trauma. The narrowness that trauma creates, the tightness, is so painful. And again, this is coming from someone who knows this well. There comes a point where we have to expand. We can't stay small. We can't let our trauma or our fear stop us from doing what we want to do. And sometimes the process of realization looks like getting to a point where we can't do it anymore. We've reached a rock bottom. We can't go on. We've either have to find a way to grow around our pain, become wider and more expansive, like the sea. So when we do have a particular response, our resource is large enough around it to be with it, to be able to be with ourselves, figure out how to repair it, like wabi-sabi, or expand out of it. We can also build another container entirely. If you shapeshift enough times, if you shed enough times, if you grow enough times, you're in a different container. And the other tower part about this with sight and unveiling is you can't heal if you can't admit what has happened, if you can't name what has happened. We can't grow if we are overly preoccupied with keeping certain parts of ourselves hidden or protected. Sometimes we take the invasive weeds out by the root. Getting the root of our trauma also means looking at it like, I think, a web. It's like a web of roots. I mean, I'm like imagining when we see underneath the ground of a tree and there's like all of this really elaborate root system. This is nervous system stuff. It's ancestry stuff. It's systemic. It's habitual. It's certain patterns, certain thoughts. And they all interact and intertwine, and we can be with one root system for a while to see what's going on and redirect it. Most likely, if you're listening to this, you might have some kind of trauma. We all do, I would guess. And think of everything you've done. Think of everything you've achieved, all the kindness you've passed on, all the gifts you've given the world, in spite of all the pain and suffering you've gone through, even though a lot of messed up stuff happened to you through no fault of your own. You didn't pass that messed up stuff on. But some of it might still be inside of you. Now imagine what could happen. You've done all this stuff. Now imagine what could happen if you stopped continuously carrying on all of that negative self-talk. If you found a way to be with the shame for long enough and with enough love to dissolve it so that your vessel was strong enough to hold your flame, to make space for the right kind of energy for you, for the inside of your container. There's this other aspect of the tower that is, it is positive. I'm not going to be one of those positive Pollyannas, you know, that's trying to be like, oh yeah, the tower, it's great. Yeah, the death card, everything that's like, I'm so happy for you. You know, I'm not going to do that. But I will say, and Angelus Arian was a anthropologist, writer, tarot scholar. She really does take the stance that the Tower is the healing card of the deck. And I do see that as well. And part of that, this other aspect of the Tower that is positive if you get it and it's aligning with where you're at and with what you're feeling into, is the spiritual awakening aspect. What is on the other side of a spiritual crisis? Usually a spiritual awakening, waking up, getting clearer, seeing the bigger picture. The way that I am referring to or defining enlightenment for our purpose is a clearer sight, a depth of perspective, and a transcendence of the self that leads to collectivism, seeing ourselves as part of a greater whole. Both, again, nesting doll style, within ourselves and within the greater whole. A true understanding of the interconnectedness of everyone and everything. We're all in the same field. And it's a dissolving of those walls. And that's often why ego death, process of ego death, spiritual crisis, can be synonymous with becoming more enlightened, because you don't get so snagged all the time, because everything isn't about you, right? You know that, right? Like how people react to you or how people are around you, it's not always about you. There's this understanding. There's that wider perspective. The philosopher Simone Weil believed that to approach God was to surrender the I for a while. I, like you, me, I. Surrender your I. See what the universe tells you. See what the universe tells you about who you are. Try being nothing for a while. I do it all the time. I live in LA, and the first question people ask me is, what do you do? I'll often say, oh, nothing. Or I'll say, like, I work for myself. My partner was reminding me the other night that I don't even remember saying this, but I'll often say a little bit of this, a little bit of that, to see how folks respond. And often they'll leave, you know, they'll turn away as soon as they can. I'm not interesting or useful to them. Nothing isn't very interesting to most people, but it is interesting to me, because nothing is everything. Everything is nothing. And spiritual enlightenment is often being able to embody or hold or understand this as a truth, which is getting beyond duality. Spiritual enlightenment is often about recognition of true self, pure essence, seeing through the false self, the ego, the layers of social conditioning which cover or obscure the true self. There are three ways to access enlightenment. The first is spontaneous. We've heard those stories. It's the Kundalini, or who's the person? Eckhart Tolle, you know, waking up on the park bench. The second is through the reps, meditation every day, acts of service, mindfulness for years. The third is through tragedy or real hardship. That's how my experience was. And the Tower archetype can unfurl as enlightenment in those ways. Sometimes enlightenment is a combination of a few of those different ways, right? So that can be what is happening. A lot of the enlightenment process consists of a breakdown, a breakthrough, an integration. Taking the gifts of the suffering or the jolt that occurs and understanding it as an initiation. And then we take that insight and we apply it, which is the process of integration. So really, we're experiencing spiritual enlightenment every day, right? We've got our 12 o'clock breakdown, 2 p.m. breakthrough, then there's a couple hours to integrate, then maybe another one, you know, Just another Tuesday. Tower Tuesdays. I'm kidding. The Tower is also painful because it underscores how groundless everything truly is. We forget. And the Tower pulls that veil back and uncovers the groundlessness. We build things up, we work hard, and that doesn't guarantee our happiness or the success we want. And the irony is that if we are a person who is dedicated to growth and evolution, we won't be satisfied at the finish line or at the end of the project or the promotion or whatever, because we ourselves have changed as a result of the process. That's how life works, right? We'll want something different. It's nuanced, of course. Sometimes it is our expectations that have made us feel a certain kind of way. I've been there. And sometimes simply we create something and then we become different. We're different. Time has passed and we're like, oh, this isn't what I want anymore. This isn't who I am anymore. I want different things. I need a different foundation. Maybe I need less, right? Maybe I need different. That's the Tower too. Another way to think about the Tower and enlightenment is as major inspiration, a spark, an idea that might be wild. It might be a portal showing you a different doorway into yourself or the world. It might seem frivolous or outlandish. It might make you reconsider who you are and what you do. See what happens if you follow it. The last positive aspect of this card I wanted to squeeze in today is that of surrender. It's paradoxical, but when we stop grasping, more can enter. We can receive. When we let something go, it creates more space for other things. Sometimes the Tower means we've got a lot of resistance to what is happening in our life. And surrender is not fighting it. It's allowing whatever is there to be there. It's trusting in the universe or the order of things, even when it's unclear or appears chaotic or not okay or not what we want. It's putting our bellies right on the earth because we've been flung from our station. And at the moment, there's nothing else to do. On a magical level, surrender, or this process around release, it's magic 101, which is that when we release what we've outgrown or that no longer interests us, it opens up more space. Like, it's, again, duh, right? But more things can come in. I'm very much in a Tower moment. I'm torn between burning everything down and just pruning, like pruning the garden, right? We think it has to be all or nothing when maybe it's simply about throwing the clay back on the wheel and reshaping it, trimming off some of the branches, but keeping the roots on the tree there, right? So the more we can accept where we are, that's where my little story came from at the beginning of this episode. The more we can accept where we are, the closer we can be to dissolving shame. I shared with a friend, for me, one of the hardest things is admitting I don't know what I'm doing next or what exactly I want to do, I should say. Because when I did some like Tower work, when I did some excavating, I realized I always had to know. Like, my hypervigilance, my survival relied on me knowing where I had to be, what I had to do, how I was going to pay rent, all these things. And when I realized there was some of that old hypervigilance there, that old trauma there, wrapped up with shame. Shame was the disguise. Shame was the covering. Shame was the tower, right? Covering it up. It was the wall. I was like, why do I feel shamed? Right? Like half the fun for me usually is not knowing. But this time it was something different. And I realized underneath there was that hypervigilant part of me that was like, if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to lose everything, right? And so I had to sit with that. And I am sitting with that. And part of my recovery, the ongoing recovery of being a human being, right, is giving myself that compassion and giving myself that love, no matter what. And so the more we can accept it, the more we can offer it up in surrender, the closer we are to reinvention and a different life, a truer life. So I wanted to end with two pieces of writing. One I wrote a long time ago. I don't even remember writing it. Ever make something or write something and you're like, wow, really? Okay. Like, who was that who wrote that? And can she come back? Can I still be here? You know? So I found this like randomly. So here goes. Knowing what is no longer working is liberating. That is, if you don't lose hope. A little nature stop to remind you. In between the sidewalk cracks, green makes its way out towards the sky. If that isn't a miracle, I don't know what is. Like weeds, your desires still grasp for a way out of the bars you've erected. Start by inhaling those dreams until their flails soften into a backstroke, moving assuredly over a black lake. Shed the shroud of past sorrow off as you float towards the scary stars that may set you free. Discipline isn't dour. It's a promise to your future self. And the second poem I will leave you with today is by everyone's favorite, Rainer Maria Rilke, and it's called The Seeker. I am circling around God, around the ancient tower. And I have been circling for 1,000 years. And I still don't know if I am a falcon or a storm or a great song. Okay, everyone, have a beautiful week. I'll be back soon. Be good to yourself and one another.